What's the name of the podcast, Ethan?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, it's not comedy.
It's not going to be a podcast. It's going to be a fucking train wreck.
Fucking $50.
Yeah. So anyway, this is How to Not Comedy is the name of the podcast.
Sweet.
We've got a guest on today, special guest, Eddie Rockefeller.
What's up?
Good to have you on.
Thanks.
Yep.
Good to be on. Yeah. Guys.
Fellas.
So,
compadres, that's the word.
Fucking lads.
What are words again? Jesus.
Yeah.
So yeah, the whole deal with this podcast is we just started it because, you know, we're all doing open mic. And there's not much of that mm-hmm. stuff out there of like how to get started in comedy and what not to do.
But you could have been like, oh yeah, so we all do open mic and we didn't have enough of bombing, so yeah. We thought we'd start a podcast.
And we'll bomb on that instead.
Yeah.
So, and
it's so much fun.
And don't worry about the dead air because Tyler cuts it all out.
Oh, excellent. That's good. So we just sit in silence for like a whole minute.
That
not
would
in
fucking
like respect of anything, just, you know, to fuck with the audience. Just
yeah.
Like, wait, is it not working anymore? Like, I pressed play.
But they'll never hear it because Tyler's a genius and he'll just cut it all out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's a fucking wizard.
Especially when...
He controls the weather also.
Yeah. He thinks he does. So yeah, how'd your gig go today?
Anyway, yeah, it went really well.
Yeah, sweet.
Yeah, sick. Had a good time.
Eddie is also a musician.
Mm-hmm. I'm an attention seeker.
Yeah.
It's pretty much it. All? Yeah, bombing wasn't enough. I thought, let's get up with a guitar. That'll work. Work for Dimitri Martin, right? Fuck it.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Wow, amateurs.
Yeah, yeah. We are shit.
Yeah.
Adam was on last week doing a bunch of references we didn't get either, so
yeah,
don't worry.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, I'm thinking with the theme then, you know?
Yeah,
his
were
from the 1840s, because he's old.
We're off. We're off and running.
Oh, okay.
You didn't get it at first, and then I had to ease up. Yeah.
You had to spell it out, didn't you, Mitch?
Yeah.
Your eyeball's still fucked up from...
I know, man.
He slept on that lounge last night. Was it last
Ethan
night?
Ethan gave me pink eye.
I got a video of me farting in his face. He doesn't know about it. He was asleep.
Wow.
Oh, I knew about it. I was just like, ooh.
I just thought I'd stay there, so we kept doing it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was enjoying the gentle flutter. Oh shit, literally, you know.
So you do music and comedy, so
I do,
obviously
yeah.
You get the whole shit all the time. When are you doing musical comedy, Eddie?
Oh, all
well, she
the
has
time.
Done that.
I have done some musical comedy, but I never do it specific. I don't like sit down and go, right, time to write a musical comedy song. Though I have tried. I suck at it when I try. I'm too used to writing like serious songs because I'm actually a musician and a songwriter, and most of my songs are depressing as fuck.
Oh, perfect.
So, you know, all about the soul and broken love and all that, you know, traditional cliche stuff. So it's the second I sit down and try to write a comedy song, which all like bright and punchlines, it just, wow, it comes out.
Maybe
really
you need
bad.
To do the dark comedy song like the.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a completely different mindset of writing for me.
Yeah,
it's hard. Like I have done a few, but it's always been when I've had a specific idea and it's come to me and then I just added the music. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anytime I've sat down and tried to specifically go write comedy song, it's never really flowed.
Well, it's like anything in comedy.
I was going to say it's just like normal joke writing, really, for me. Sit down to write something funny and.
Just doesn't come.
Yeah. I can vouch for that. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes it just doesn't go the way you thought it was.
Yeah, definitely not.
Hey, you should come to a writing session.
Yeah.
Yeah, instead
Sorry
of
for not
out.
Showing up the other day. I had every, like, I was like, yeah, I'll go. Yeah, even change your plans
oh,
around
you're
it.
Talking about the, oh, you're yeah. talking about open mic. I thought you were talking about the podcast. I'm like, isn't it your show? How does the show run if you're not there? Like,
barely.
Barely runs now. Like, yeah. If Mitch isn't there.
Mitch forgot the laptop, so we had to like rig up an old computer with it's. What,
maybe it would be better if he did it, show.
Yeah.
He also like knocked a glass out of my hand when he said hello to
up.
Me.
Yeah, walked
He's
up.
He's just a violent person.
Yeah. I just walked up and just knocked it out of your hand. Just
Whack.
Hey, Eddie. Good to see you. Whack.
Yeah.
Sally asserts his dominance. He's a small man.
I've got to do it. I've got the little man syndrome.
What an entrance. Oh, jeez.
That was good because we were sitting there for a good 40 minutes to an hour just talking comedy.
Like, yeah.
Just getting the podcast out of the way before we started.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah,
yeah. But that was my fuck up because I fucked the time up. So I'll wear that one.
That's okay.
So how long have you been doing comedy?
I think it's been like 4 years now. Fuck, that's a long time.
Shit, really?
I thought it was like three, I realized that I've been, fuck yeah. So did I. I think I started around August time. So I think it would be 4 years now.
Yeah, nice.
I think. That also means I've been single for 4 years. So fuck, like this is bad.
Lucky you.
Yeah. Oh no. Your wife is literally right there.
Nah, she gets it.
Yeah. Yeah, she returns the
sentiment. With me. she's jealous of you, trust me.
Yeah, if I was professional, I'd have a follow up question for that, but I got fuck all. Wow. So
well done, Ethan.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you.
Thanks, so Eddie, you also run a room, maybe two.
Yeah, maybe two. That guy said he's definitely booking another show. I just haven't called him to do it because I'm a professional, just like you guys, you know? Like,
hey, man, don't worry. I know what it's like. I had to have my arm twisted today just to update my resume. So.
I thought you were going to say I had to have my arm twisted just to fucking show up today.
That like, too.
Yeah. Eddie, you're not enough, okay?
Like, yeah.
Heard you were going to be there and I went, but do I really want to go? Like,
he was just scared.
Yeah.
So what's your resume say now? Like, did you include like the hot dog eating contest from like 83 or like...
Included the bomb from last week at the Crown of
Anchor. I'm now an avid bird watcher. Yeah, that's my thing now.
Oh, you nearly got mauled by a bird
today. You need to do skills and criteria. What have you done that makes you like better? You'd be like, ooh, I've done a lot of bird watching.
I did add comedy.
You put that on your interests?
Did you seriously?
Yeah.
I leave that the fuck away from my resume. I'm like, no.
The first thing you'll hear in an interview is, oh, you're a comedian. Tell us a joke.
No, I didn't say I'm a comedian. And
you just said you like comedy.
Yeah, there's a difference between...
Yeah. I'm just into it. I'm not a comedian.
Yep.
I don't... Yeah. Even when people watch me on stage, I still don't say I'm a comedian. I'm like, one day.
I'm just a crazy person who wandered on stage.
Yeah.
Essentially. Where's the bus? I've lost my bus.
They just haven't told me to go away yet. I'm just going to continue to do it.
I escaped the bus more like it on the way to the fucking hospital. Someone forgot their handcuffs. And here I am.
Straitjacket.
Yeah. So you run... I would say the best show in Newcastle at the moment, getting around.
Promo.
Yeah.
Are you guys going to get this out before the next show? Should I tell everyone when the next show is?
We've only got three listeners.
Nobody gives a shit, Eddie.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Tyler's not going to get that done. He just got the last one out. So okay.
we're running about a week behind.
How about I just say that it's on the third Wednesday of every month at the Stag and Hunter.
Yeah.
Hotel in Newcastle. So
yeah, and the name of the show?
Punchline Comedy.
Yes, Punchline Comedy.
Yeah,
it is. It's a great show. So obviously, we get up, we do our stand up, we make fools out of ourselves. Sometimes it goes well, sometimes it does not go well, and then we play a little game called Beat Them to the Punchline.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, where you sort of give us a line to start with, and then we get up and just
improv on it. Yeah.
It's like, whose line is it anyway? Except no one's laughing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the idea of actually the idea of it originally was just to get people writing more in the comedy community, because quite often, I mean, you guys would know from open mic, you show up open mics, and if you know the comedians, quite often we'll know each other's entire sets. Like, I could deliver your entire set without looking at your lines or rehearsing. I could just hop up and do it now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it gets a little bit like that in the comedy community. So, you know, we don't have as many writing sessions as I would like. So I try to, like, sort of push people to you know, improv, and then if they come across something that actually worked, they thought of, they can write more on that later, maybe have some new jokes next time. That was the original idea. And now it's turned into just like a heckle fest. Like it's just literally, it's for the audience now so that they can call out and we give away like a $50 bistro voucher to an audience member who had the best call for one of the lines.
Yeah.
So
it is a lot of fun.
It's a great segment. I love it.
Yeah.
I hear you guys have a very similar segment on your show.
Yeah.
You've been warned, have you?
Yeah. I've been warned by Mitch. He's like, by the way, we're gonna throw a line at you and you've got to be funny. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not even the worst one.
I can't be funny when I'm prepared.
Not even the worst one. Like, you also got to do a joke on here that you've written.
Oh, shit. You didn't tell me that. You didn't warn me about that.
No.
Okay.
No, because you'd come prepared.
It's more off the cuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So for us personally, it just keeps us writing. You've got to come in with a new joke each week and perform it, preferably. A lot of the time we don't because they're so shit.
It's more of a premise because we're lazy. I got a premise.
Yeah,
this is sort of it. And that's sort of what happens at like the writing thing. You turn up, you're like, oh, I've got this premise, but I don't really know how to turn it into a joke yet. And then you get the different angles and you sort of figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, like I wrote two jokes. You could call them
jokes.
Yeah, jokes.
In quotation marks.
Yeah, quotation marks. That's the word I was looking for. I don't know anything over two syllables. So I had to get Ethan to fill it in for me.
He's still in preschool.
Yeah.
Well, he left school
still
early.
Still
joined
his
the
ABCs.
Air Force.
He's 1, 2, 3s.
Still shitting myself. Yeah. So,
it's funny because it's true.
It really is.
So true.
Ethan too. We got recorded evidence of him shitting himself.
Yeah, still
and multiple
in the lead.
Strangers at many venues also know this now.
That's
true. Yeah.
I haven't opened with that for a bit. I might bring it back.
Yeah, that's what everyone wants to hear.
Yeah.
The shit the pants story.
Well, I haven't done the podcast shit my pants story on stage yet.
What?
Yeah, episode
I didn't
one.
Hear this.
Oh, you haven't heard it. Yeah,
no,
okay.
There's more cases of you shitting your pants.
Oh, I'm up to number 3 this year.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
That's a problem. Maybe you've got IBS.
Yeah, I think you've got a problem.
I think I've got a solution.
A friend of mine kept shitting herself, and then, like, it was a whole thing for half her life. And then she's like, I better go to the doctors about this.
Nah, what do doctors know?
Yeah, well, she thought that for a good 5 years, and then she turns up, she's like, I can't stop shitting myself. They're like, yeah, you got IBS. She's like, oh, that explains it.
Do I have to do anything for that if I have IBS? Or I can
you get a card, a badge. You get a badge.
You just get told you have it. Yeah. Yeah.
And then what?
Have fun. Here's a diagnosis. We're not doing nothing about it, though.
Exactly.
Fuck that. Yeah, I'm not going to the doctors to be told, yeah, you're fucked.
Yeah.
And good luck.
This is just something you have to deal with for the rest of your life.
Yeah, it was like when I diagnosed you with autism. What am I going to do about it, though?
Nothing.
I don't know.
Start getting on stage. Put that autism to good use.
Speaking of which, let's hear your jokes.
All right. You want me to go first?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, so I'm just going to read out straight up what I wrote. All right, so I used to get smacked as a kid. I turned out pretty okay. Like, nothing wrong with a little assault or the threat thereof to give a kid perspective. Kids these days don't get smacked almost as much, and most of the kids these days are cunts. And some parents are like, yeah, my kids are polite and well-behaved. And I'm like, yeah, but imagine how much well-behaved they'd be if you flogged them. It's like, that was the bit I was expecting.
That was the punchline.
Yeah,
that was the bit that failed me.
Yeah, I know. It was all in
the kids are cunts was, you know, I was getting, okay, all right, I'm on board. And then you're like, we should abuse children.
Well, it was, it was like the other day, it was on Facebook that I came up with this. He's like, oh, I don't hit my kids and they're fine. Like, they're nice and polite. I'm like, yeah, but imagine how much more polite they'd be if you hit them. And he certainly didn't see the funny side of that either.
I wonder why.
It's because it literally makes no sense. But like,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, you can volunteer your services.
Yeah. Come around to your
house.
The
children whipper.
Yeah. $30 a smack.
It's a lot of travel time. It's a good rate.
Smack, I know. Yeah. Like, I could be the BDSM fucking babysitter. Oh,
Jesus. Jesus. You're going down a bad road here.
Instead of clothing yourself in leather, you're just being like clown suits. And just, yeah. You know. Squeeze the nose, smack.
Oh, you know, children.
Pull my finger.
Who's been naughty?
Oh, shit. Oh, that's going to give me nightmares now. Oh,
Jesus. There is that dude that goes around and gets paid to deliver kids bad news. Like, that's his thing.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah. And he gets, parents pay him and they're like, we're getting a divorce, but we don't want to tell our kids, so you got to break the news to them. He just gets paid to do that.
Man, maybe the police could...
No wonder they got divorced.
Yeah,
they
can't even parent.
Can't confront shit.
Maybe the police could outsource that job for all, car crash victims and stuff.
Oh, Jesus.
Sorry.
I'm the bearer of bad news.
Yeah. You know how when the police show up, you automatically know something's bad. You're expecting it, right? What are these guys doing for the, are they showing up in a certain uniform that just instantly tells you you're about to get bad news?
They come bearing toys. Here's an action man.
Comes looking like a pedophile.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Here's an action man, hey, a I'm puppy. A also, some... one of your parents are dead.
See, I'm with Candy too. I feel like he should be at this point. And a van, you know?
Yeah.
A van full of candy. Well, it's the only thing that makes the kid feel better.
Maybe they do something terrible to the child and then give them the bad news to, reduce the effect of, that bad news is bad, but it was also something after, something before that horrific happened to me. So the news wasn't quite as bad.
Just show up and, cut off his hand and see how your hand is gone now. Well, yeah, your mum's dead. So,
you know? Hey, you had a headache, but now you're dead. So the headache isn't as bad anymore.
Jesus.
Yeah. All right. Yeah,
so please don't give Mitch that job. I think it takes sick pleasure in it.
Yeah, maybe. All right. So if you put put two kids in front of a chocolate bar, right, and say it's their choice whether they eat it, and tell one he's going to get a stern talking to if he eats it, right, and then tell the other one, if you eat that chocolate bar, I'm going to beat the shit out of you. It's like, we'll see which one works, parenting, the
to
threat
be honest,
of assault.
I don't think either of them would work. You know how kids are? They're not thinking about in the future what's going to happen to me.
Yeah.
There's a chocolate bar right there now.
Yeah, exactly.
Did a kid do something bad to you before this podcast?
Yeah, what's your problem with kids,
yeah,
dude?
Yeah,
like,
I'm just a fucking psycho.
Please tell me you're not having children.
Not yet, yeah. So maybe both won't touch the chocolate bar. Maybe they both will. All right. But, you know, that second kid, you know, he's going to enjoy that chocolate bar way more knowing that he's going to cop a beating for it. So, you know, you just...
What are you saying?
No,
he's not.
No. You're bringing appreciation for the little things in life.
No, you're not.
You're
he's
giving him
be
an
terrible.
Appreciation. Yeah.
He's got to be idiot thinking...
Yeah, floggings bring appreciation. Right?
No one should let you raise children.
Yeah,
ever.
For what's important ever. In life.
It's what has Tanya been doing
that.
To him?
He's going to enjoy that chocolate bar way more than that kid he's going to get the stern talking to.
I feel like the first kid's going to enjoy it more because he knows he's only getting a stern talking to while the other one's getting beaten up.
Yeah, all right. What would you take a beating for in life?
I take a beating every night.
For fun.
Yeah. Just part of my daily routine.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
It's
got to be worth it. If you're going to cop a flogging for something, it's got to be worth it. And if he's going to cop a flogging for that chocolate bar, he's going to enjoy it way more. See, you're coming around to my fucked up way of thinking.
I think you needed to use a much more enticing thing than a chocolate bar.
Oh, dude, have you ever had a fucking Bueno? They're delicious. I'd cop a beating for a Bueno.
I think we found the sadistic kid.
Yeah, no, I think he's just into kinky shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not even getting any sexual gratification out of it. It's all just platonic gratification.
Just slap my ass and feed me chocolate.
Yes.
Please hit me, I'm full of chocolate.
Again, every Friday night for me. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
So I wrote one more joke.
Oh, fuck. Here we go. It wasn't enough.
It was like, I love seeing P-platers with shitty cars and big exhausts. And it's like you're getting overtaken on them and they're like, wah, wah, but they're just going like 1K faster than you. The car's going off its fucking
And then they have
tits.
To stop at the traffic lights.
Well, you expect them to fly past you. And then it's like, and it's just like, it's almost not worth having a car so loud if it's that shit, if it wasn't for all the pussy that they're getting.
Which is none.
Yeah, decibels is directly linked to sexual attraction.
Yeah,
right? I can vouch
100%,
for that.
100%.
Oh, your car's loud. It's Let like, me have a crack
yeah.
at you.
Yeah. So
like
that was my joke.
It's good that they have the loud exhaust and everything because it's like a fuckwit detector.
Yeah.
It's like, this guy's a dick.
Yeah.
I had a P-plate ram into me on purpose actually the other day.
Again, you got
not again. Same dude.
Oh,
I'm telling
that
story.
Okay,
yeah.
I was going to bring this up, so that's good.
Like,
we got
Jesus,
this.
Eddie. I think you just attracted.
What?
I mean, I do attract dickheads, but not in this instance. Okay.
You weren't asking to get beaten this time.
No, not this time. No, I think I gave him the finger as he was going past because he was being a dickhead and he didn't like it, so he rammed into me.
Yeah. Okay.
And I was like, oh, fuck, I can't believe that just happened.
It's like, fancy that. Someone would react to you.
What?
Saying fuck. It is a bit of an overreaction, though.
Oh, it's a total overreaction.
Like, you get the finger. I've gotten the finger and nearly followed people home, but then I didn't. So
yeah, he's had people not give him the finger and he still follows them home. So
I get fingered and I follow that person home. I need more. Yeah. No, Mitch is
please, sir, can I have some more?
Mitch is bad with road rage. Like, he used to carry a bat around in the back of his car.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You're just going straight to jail.
So I had to get rid of the bat because Tanya was driving once and she's trying to reverse park.
She fucking killed someone? Like,
no, she was trying to reverse park. And these you understand when people are just trying to reverse park. They're just trying to reverse park. You don't fucking honk your horn at them. Like, hurry the fuck up, cunt. Like, also, it wasn't a main street with double lines or anything like that. It was just the middle of suburbia. They could have just gone around.
Yeah.
There was, like, no reason to honk their horn. And then they just pulled in right behind us. And I was like, oh, I know what to do here. And I pulled my bat out. And then I just started walking up the road towards them. And Tanya's like, Mitchell, stop. And I was like, I came to my senses. I was like, that is such an overreaction.
Yeah, just
Jesus,
a bit.
Wasn't the overreaction even putting the bat in the boot in the first place?
100%. And then I was like, 100%.
That's the point you realize it's an overreaction.
There is no, like, I was telling a psychiatrist about this a little while ago, and she had the exact same reaction. She's like, that was such a bad idea. And I was like, yeah, I know. So I got rid of the bat.
Jesus,
but also,
Mitch is psycho.
Also, the fact, like, as soon as I calmed down and I was putting the bat in the car, a fucking paddy wagon drove past.
Ooh.
So that would have been just the end of my life right there. Like, I'd have been beating this person with a bat and then the coppers would have just been, like, rolling up on me. And just, oh, yeah, cool, we'll fucking tase and beat the shit out of this guy and send him to jail for a couple of years.
So,
and then we'll arrest him, you know?
Yeah.
So knowing this story ahead of time, this is why I try not to flip people off when I drive anymore.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, holy shit.
In my defense, he was being an arsehole.
There could be an angry midget behind the wheel who's going to jump out and hit me with a bat. And I've had people jump out of their cars while I've been driving and honking the horn at them.
He tried to hop out of the traffic light to come beat me.
Yeah. I think it's a Newcastle thing.
I saw him coming and I'm like, oh, shit. Locked the doors and then the traffic light went and like he never even got a chance to get fully out of the car.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a stupid move on his
part. Now I've also jumped out of a car and went to bash someone at some lights.
Jesus.
On Tanya and I's,
you know what?
I think
Mitch was the guy rammed into me. I'm starting to think it's him.
On Tanya and I's first date, like
so romantic.
It was so romantic.
Oh my god.
Yeah. I'm not like that anymore, Eddie. I promise.
How long ago did you take the bat out?
Oh, it was a couple of years. We were on our way to a comedy show.
Oh, shit.
We went to see Matty B record one of his CDs.
Oh, the Ori.
Yeah, it was at the Ori. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was at the Oriental.
I'm there having a great night that night, and my life was nearly over an hour before we performed that. It was insane.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yep. I, you know what? I don't think we're friends anymore, Mitch. Let's just call it.
That's
just call it a day.
That's
shall
Mitch
we?
Of four or 5 years ago. So yeah. Mitch isn't like that anymore. So those are my jokes. Ethan, what have you written this week, you fucking piece of shit?
Oh, just your usual piece of shit jokes.
Yep, perfect.
I went to a writing session last Monday,
yeah.
Was it?
Yeah. Yep. So I've sorry, we went on Wednesday.
Oh, was it? I don't fucking know
what day
it is.
But we're having one on Monday. That's where he's getting
right,
mixed up.
Right,
yeah, because Ethan's bad with dates and times and things.
Yeah, yeah.
He's still in preschool too, these days. It's
fucking bad.
Tuesday.
I give Mitch shit about not bringing the laptop, but I would have probably forgot it too.
Yeah.
What do we got? I had a really good one too. It was about not everything needs equality. So only 3% of women commit mass shootings. So that's one area that doesn't really need equality.
Yeah.
Fight for equality in everything. Maybe not everything.
Yeah.
That's more of a premise. I've got to write it out. The one that I did have, though, that was sort of a fleshed out joke was the white men are pretty shit at the Olympics. Like, we're not really built athletically as much as some of the other people participating, but there's one event that we always win, and that's the shooting, because no one knows how to shoot up a place like a white guy.
Yeah.
We'll see enough. How that one goes.
Yeah. There is, yeah.
Yeah, I had a white guy shooting up at me last night. It was
oh, fuck.
He's pretty fucking good.
You want to do a shout out?
She didn't know his name.
Oh, fuck. I don't know where I met him. He just,
he just turned up.
I was like, sure, why not?
He was there to deliver a package.
Can I deliver your package now?
He was just dropping off a load.
Jesus.
Way to kill it, Mitchell.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck it. Sorry.
It's one too far. Way to fuck it.
Yeah.
All right, that's my two.
All right. Eddie, you got anything?
Are we talking new jokes, old jokes? What's
new
the
jokes.
Go? New jokes.
Yeah. You written anything
in the
past week?
I actually got my writing book in the car, but I didn't bring it in.
Ah, well.
I should have brought it in. New jokes.
Two that you did at the Crown the other night. Can you remember
two
of them?
Yeah, I can do some of
those. Yeah, do you remember other... A few. You did a few of those.
Because they were fucking good.
There's a few. I've still got to write them out a bit. They're very new. But I've got this one new joke where it's like there's always a... my car's always breaking down. It's always got problems with it, and I always have male friends who want to tell me their idea for a solution. Quite recently, I had to open the hood and move my battery to be able to get my car to start.
Yeah.
So one of my mates told me, "Oh, you're probably when you move the battery, you're acting as a conductor, and it's actually grounding the battery, and that's why I can start." So I'm like, "So you're basically telling me I have a battery that just needs to be touched?" Did I just relate to a battery? you know, he's probably had so many engines tell him there's just no spark in the relationship anymore. You know what I mean?
Here come the puns.
Yeah, there's lots. And I was like, so long story short, I'm sleeping with a battery now. But our relationship probably only has a shelf life about 6 months. He's terminal.
it was a shitty joke.
Oh, fuck, the puns.
The roller coaster one.
Yeah,
maybe.
The roller coaster. So I said, I've got this one where I'm like, I call my pussy the roller coaster because one ride of this pussy and you'll want to throw up. So. And then I followed it quite quickly with, do you feel like baking? Because I've got a yeast infection.
That's right.
They're so bad that they're good.
Terrible. Oh, man. Terrible.
They fucking did well.
They did do well. I tend to find that room likes dirty shit, though. Every time I've ever told my dating jokes, they enjoy that kind of dirty humour more than... more than the others.
Like the church. You can't do it at the stand-up.
Why would I do comedy at a church? Jesus.
Well, they got that room that they're running, the Tuesday mornings, 9 o'clock.
With Uncle Nath.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know Uncle Nath. He used to come back in the old days when we were doing the Mayfield room Double Dare comedy that was. That's ages ago. But yeah, I met him back then. Good dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Funny dude.
Doing his own thing. I'm definitely not
very
doing my set
humor.
There.
Very, he's a pastor. So it's very pastor sort of humor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I'm used to that because I grew up in an incredibly strict Christian family. So I was going to church every week. So I'm very used to pastor humor.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Like, is it like spaghetti or...
Mm. You had to go there.
No. Just, wow. Dude, I just told a joke that was full of puns and I groaned at that.
Spaghetti, what do we got?
That's like, a joke that my dad used to tell like every week.
Ah, good.
Oh my God, it was awful.
He should come
We're
to
having
punchline.
The pasta over for lunch. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Bolognese.
Not do it.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, all right.
How about this joke then? Seeing as we're talking about my Christianity, yeah, there was a lot. I got brought up in a strict Christian family. There was a lot of shit I wasn't allowed to do as a kid. Like, I wasn't allowed to drink tea. I wasn't allowed coffee. I wasn't allowed Coke. But it was mainly because we were a heroin family. So.
Yeah.
I've heard that one so many times.
Yeah, it fucking kills, though.
It's good.
It is a great joke. Yeah. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
We definitely need more rooms in Newcastle. It would be good to do
I'm working on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just fucking pull your finger out, Eddie.
God damn it, Eddie.
Yeah. It would be good to do two shows a night. We were talking about it with Adam last week.
I don't think
we'll
ever get to the point where we do two shows a night. If we can manage to get to a point where we can
do one show a night a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two shows a week would be good at this point.
Like, damn, Mitch, you're like reaching for the stars.
Yeah,
no.
I was actually setting the bar very, very low. It's just I don't know how to talk.
Yeah, we're all aware.
Which is a real potty. Fuck.
There we go.
It's a real problem for my hobby and this podcast.
Yeah. And just in life.
Oh, man.
In general, it's usually a requirement of life to know how to talk.
Oh, man, so bad. I just forget words. I'm there with a customer and I'm like, oh, I'm trying to sell him something, but I can't even remember the name of the thing I'm trying to sell him. I'm like, there's this thing we got for you. And it's called... just never mind. I'm just going to leave. It's like...
I think he started that sentence with, you know, oh, yeah, this will be funny. I'll tell this story. Then halfway through he goes, this is not going to be funny. I should stop talking.
Yeah. Story of my
Thanks
life.
Thanks for wasting our time, Mitch. That was great.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good. It happens a lot on this. Yeah. If you can't tell. It's great. You just let him go. He tires himself out.
Just nice. Send me to bed with a warm bottle of milk and my dummy.
So what advice could you give us or anyone that's listening if they want to start a room? What's the deal with that? Like, how does it work? Because I've got no fucking idea. I was going to ask Adam this, but I failed.
Okay. Well, first of all, you want a venue that will take you.
Yeah, that'd help.
Generally, when I'm looking for venues, I'm looking for a place. I look a lot into like the resonance of the room. Like, I know it sounds stupid, but with comedy, quite often, I know because I'm a musician and a lot of people tend to think that you don't actually need good sound for comedy. It's just one person talking, right? You don't really need a proper nice mic, all this sort of shit. But quite often, I've been at gigs where I've seen comics bombing and then the instant the sound got improved, they started killing in the same set.
Yeah.
Because quite often, if an audience member has to strain to hear what's being said, they're less likely to listen, or that you know, it's they're doing hard work to try and get a joke. You know, it's less fun for them. So generally, just a room where the sound's going to work well.
Yep.
That's a good point. A pub that's willing, or a venue that's willing to get behind you, that's really important. I know. I searched out the Stag specifically because I know they're such a good venue because they're original music venue. So I know they've got an in-house PA. They've got a good PA because they have musicians playing there regularly, like every night of the week almost.
They've got a stage.
They've got a stage.
Yeah.
And not only that, they have a promotion and social media team.
Yeah.
So every week they've got posts going out about what's on that week. And they've got posters around the venue and they're supportive of original music. So they're supportive of performing. And so it's a good venue. So I knew that was going to be good. So It was actually kind of funny because I searched him out for months and months. I was trying to call him and get him on the phone. And then when I, he was just always out. That's the hardest part about chasing venues.
Who were you trying to call?
Just getting them on the phone. The owner of the pub.
Right.
Yeah. So I was chasing him for a while. Just the problem with venue owners is they're so busy.
Yeah, yeah.
They're always rushing around doing other stuff. So quite often it's hard to get the perfect time when they're there. But when I did finally get him on the phone and speak to him, he was like, oh, sounds interesting. Come for a meeting today. And
yep.
then booked it that day. Like, it was fast when it got started. It was half the time it was just me chasing him up.
So did you just ask, like, bar staff for his number or, like?
I'd called the venue and was like, can I speak to the owner? And it'd be like, he's not there.
Yep.
Or I'm trying to think. Like, I did have a few I have a few friends who run a few nights there.
Right.
Like they run like a music open mic there.
Yep.
And my mate headed that. So I did speak to her and go, what's the best way to sort of get in contact? All that sort of stuff. I'm trying to think. I can't recall because it was quite a while ago now. It was like over a year ago. I think I can't remember whether I got him on his mobile or whether I just got him at the right time.
Yeah.
Someone might have given me his mobile. I know that I got his mobile that day, but just I don't persistent. Know. I think he gave it to me. I don't think it was the other way around. I think I just got him on the right day.
Yeah.
And are you meeting, obviously, because you're doing music, are you meeting a lot of like sort of owners and stuff like that and going and asking them if you can do a stand-up comedy show at their venues, or are you really just sort of being like, look, this venue's not going to be any good because...
I talk to a lot of venues because I direct book myself as a musician, so I'm always calling venues and booking dates with them. Quite often, though, I'll approach a venue with something in mind. So I will go, right, this is a gig. This is a venue that I want to do a music gig at. This is where I want to gig regularly. So I'll talk to them about that. If I have a venue that I'm like, I specifically want to do comedy here, I'll only talk to them about that. I have like you're talking about this other room that I potentially will be running. Well, I have run and it's going to run again, but we don't have the next date yet in Maitland, the Poorhouse. So I originally heard of them because they were interested in doing comedy. So I spoke to them for a while talking about comedy and they were like, yes, we're really interested, but we can't yet. And then eventually took so long that I was just like, yeah, you know what? I'll just hit him up for a music gig now because it's been that long, don't think. And then eventually, because I was doing music gigs there, I saw him enough that he called me up to book in a few dates. And I was like, at the end of the phone call, I was like, oh, just while I've got you, how about that comedy thing? Do we still want to do that? And he's like, ah, fuck it. Let's just book a date in now because I'd been chasing him for so long for it. So, usually I try not to cross my wires, mainly because...
You don't want to turn up and do comedy when you're trying to do music?
No, it's more the fact that like when you speak to a venue owner or when you speak to anybody and you say, hey, I do music, I do comedy, a lot of the time like they don't know you from a bar of soap.
Yeah.
I mean, you could show up and be, yeah, I do comedy and music. I'm fucking awesome at them. And you could be total shit. Like, you have to get them to trust you.
Right? Yeah.
And quite often, like, nobody thinks you're going to be, like, ace at both. Is my reasoning and logic.
Yeah, that's
they
a good
think
point.
You're only, you know, you can't be, is the general. You know, most people think you can be talented at one thing and that's it.
Yeah.
So that's why I try not to confuse it, because when I get there, I want to display myself as someone who knows how to run a comedy night, not someone who's also like, oh, let's run a comedy night, but also, how about you book me for music and book me for this and book me for this and this, this, this. I don't want to like
that makes
do that
sense.
Too much.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a unique position that you're in that not many other people have, but it's true for like a lot of things in life. Like, you want to be like, I'm good at this. Hire me for this.
Very much so.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Old jack of all trades, master of none type of deal.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I've met a lot of musicians in my age, in my day, who have been like, oh, I play this and this and this and this, and they'll list like five instruments, and I'll be like, oh, six sounds awesome. And then
shit
we'll have a jam.
Them.
Oh, my God. You know, like so many people will list things as their accomplishments when they haven't actually, you know, you can say Nobody's forced to give you a resume when you stand up. Nobody's forced to give you like a promo vid that shows what you can do straight up when you meet them.
Yeah.
They can say anything.
Well, I guess like if you are in music, and most people might have, I don't know, maybe they've got something recorded already. So if you're trying to get into a band, you'd be like, hey, man, like here's a couple of my tracks. Am I going to work with you? Like,
yeah, comedy works the same way.
Usually, with bands, they'll audition you. They'll get a bunch of people to come along on a day.
Yeah. Well, comedy's definitely the same. Like, oh yeah, I've been on the project. I've done this. I've done that. Like,
yeah.
And also, comedy's small enough that you do kind of hear about people more than like you probably hear about people a lot more in comedy than you would maybe in music.
I guess so, but that's mainly because a lot of the time we're doing open mics and shows together.
Yeah.
Like nobody's really doing whole shows by themselves in comedy. They're doing double headers or they're doing like a showcase. In music, I go to solo gigs all the time and I'll have friends who go, oh, you're a musician? Do you know this musician? And quite often I'll be like, no, dude, he's probably gigging on the exact same nights as I am.
In a different
venue.
How
would I have time to get out and go see him? I'm busy earning my pay.
You didn't meet him in the locker room after you?
Yeah.
You just all get together, go out for beers after work. Yeah, fair enough. Have you ever thought about doing like a sort of like running a comedy show and just bringing on like sort of more...
booked acts?
Yeah, like booked
acts. I've actually spoken to the Stag about it because... we've gotten such a strong following for the open mic. We're getting like 50 to 70 every month, which is solid numbers every month. So, I've spoken to him about it. I'm just hesitant to go into that field because you have to put a lot of dedication into booking acts. You know what I mean? When I do the open mic, I just have to book an MC. I just need to know you're a good MC. That's it.
And even that can go fucking wrong. Like there's been a few times where MCs don't show up. And you've always got one spare.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, usually, that's just one.
Yeah, if that happens, if a comedian has to back out, they'll usually be like, oh, but I could suggest this guy. He's good and he's available.
Yeah,
like,
awesome.
They'll set up a replacement for me before they pull out, which is sort of nice.
Those things happen.
At the same point, a lot of the time it's somebody I don't know, so it's a bit... yeah, scary for me because I'm like, what if they come along and they're,
shit.
Really racist or something? Yeah. I don't know. Most of the time, though, it's worked out. It's been fine. Like, I trust the comedians I book to not refer me to somebody who would be terrible. But with book shows, first of all, I have to charge ticket price, so a promo becomes more of an issue because I'm not promoing a free show, so it's not as lucrative. You have to make it look worth spending money on. And that all comes out of my pocket. That's the other issue. I've got to book more acts. I've got to, push it more. Yeah, all this sort of stuff.
You've pretty much got to become a booker.
Yeah, very much so.
It's like a full-time
job.
Although
I love comedy, I've got a lot of stuff going on. So it's like, I'd like to do it, but I also am aware of how much work it would be. So I don't think I could do it regularly.
It's also, you've also got to worry about, when you become the guy who's booking shows, you become the person who people will point at and blame when you're not on the, when they're not on the show. It might just be like, oh, yeah, like, people come to resent you as well.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
shit.
I could certainly see that, especially in comedy, because we are so, selfish. Essentially, in a lot of ways, that it's like, I'm good enough for that show. Why haven't they booked me on that show?
Yeah, so that definitely happens.
Yeah, yeah. So,
but if you're like that, you're a fucking idiot anyway.
I'm not saying everyone is like that. Just saying you could certainly run into that situation where you're put in that situation almost.
Oh, for sure. You'd have to expect it as a booker. You got to expect that people are going to blow smoke up your ass. People are going to try and suck up to you as well.
Honestly, I think that's half the reason why some people want to do it, though.
They want the power of it.
Yeah, dude. I reckon, no offense, but I've seen a lot of rooms in Sydney where I've met the people and gone, right, I feel like the only reason you're running this room is because you're trying to get a little bit more respect for yourself as a comedian.
Yeah, fair enough.
And
that's what
your
game
is. Does it work? Who knows?
yeah.
Yeah. But like some people do that. Like it's a bit of a sometimes I love comedy, but sometimes it feels a little bit like going back to high school again, you know? Like the ones who are booking gigs are like the popular kids and everyone wants to be the popular kid, you know what I mean?
Fuck
and,
that. I don't want to
But also
gigs.
We all hate the popular kids. You know, like yeah. it's oh, I don't hate anyone. But like well not in the comedy. There's some people like, yeah. Yeah.
Don't drop any names.
Also like the amount of stress you see Milos, for example, go through on some of his shows, and it's like, oh yeah, he's running this festival and it's great, but
he puts a lot of work,
so much work,
so much work.
Even his big dog shows, like you walk up to him and I was like, hey man, how you going? He's like, oh fucking holy shit, like oh man, like just dealing
hanging
with
in
it.
There,
yeah. Like I was thinking about hitting him up, just be like, hey man, would it be all right if I just tagged along with your production, like your crew? And just sort of learn the technical aspect of what's going on, like how you're setting up the speakers, the mics, doing all that sort of stuff.
Just ask them, man. Just go up to Chris after a gig and say, do you need a hand?
For Chris.
Yeah. Like,
that's what I've done.
Chris,
just, hey, man, do you need a hand lifting shit?
Yeah.
Because I'm a fucking idiot. I don't know how any of it works. I'm like, just give me something heavy and I'll carry it over there.
Yeah, but you won't because just look at you.
You're scrawny.
Well, I already have, but sure.
He'll attempt to lift it over there.
He'll throw his back out doing it.
He'll do his best, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I'm more interested in that sort of things in a lot of aspects. So, yeah, I think that's some great.
You know what they are? You know what they say about that, Mitch? Those who can't comedy. Book.
yeah. Well, I'm thinking about becoming a teacher. So no, they definitely say that about teachers. Those who can't do teach. Yeah. So yeah, that's fair enough.
Sometimes it's true. Sometimes it's not.
Yeah, 100%. Moving on. How premises we've come up with over the week? We've got another segment, like just sort of stuff we think of through the week, premises. You got anything to bring up this week, Ethan?
Premise-wise? No, I got all my writing done last Wednesday. I've got nothing left in the tank.
We did a lot.
I came up with one on the way out here. I've started just reading news. Bumble Matchmaker. There was an article I was reading on the way out here, and this chick's like, oh, I can't deal with all the matches I'm getting on Bumble. So
oh
she's
God,
hired.
It's
she's
so fucks she's, to be wanted.
She's paid someone to go through and talk to someone for weeks, like weeks, and just read the conversations on the way to the date and then just gone to the date. It fucking blows my mind. Like, what the fuck? Like, yeah. So sits down, has an interview with the person, likes, dislikes, and I'm like, there's got to be something there. There's definitely something there. So that was like one of the premises I came up with on the way here.
Cool.
Yeah, nothing. All right.
Well,
I got nothing.
Like
for that.
What exactly? I don't. That was really more a statement, not a premise. Where's
the premise?
What's
is
the
that's
idea?
The premise. Like this fucking Bumble matchmaker.
Like, you need to have.
There's still
what's
not a premise.
Funny about it.
What angle are you trying to?
Because you get the premise, and then you're like, what's funny about it? And then you come up with a punchline.
So yeah,
like what are you saying?
This
are
is
you saying
stage
that it's,
one.
It's weird that she does online dating? Is that what you...
No,
is
no.
Is that the premise?
The premise is that how fucking ridiculous it is it these days that you need someone to even go through your matches on a fucking application? It's already easy enough. It's already easy enough. That's what I was thinking anyway.
Yeah, I didn't get
it.
So you're saying that she doesn't really need to go through all this trouble?
I think it's just a ridiculous situation that you're already in. We've already got applications for people where you can just go through.
So wait, you're saying you don't like this particular app? You don't like this app?
No. It's just,
no, he just doesn't like this one bitch in particular.
This one fucking bitch.
Just wants to bitch about this girl. I've got no jokes. I just want to say this chick.
Because she's getting all this dick and I'm getting none of it.
How dare she be wanted?
It's
fucking hate her.
She's holding
she'd
all the dick.
She'd probably get booked as well.
It's already easy. It's already easy. They're like, women are like, oh man, I'm so sick of dudes coming up to me. Not women. Like, it's this ridiculous thing. It's like, it's hard to meet people. So we've made an application to meet people.
And it's like, all right, it's so much more easier. And then you're like, oh, man, it's so much work to just talk to people on this application. And then you're just like, oh, yeah, I'll just hire someone to do that for me too. Like,
she hired someone to go through.
Yeah. The Bumble matchmaker.
I finally got what his premise was supposed to be. Jesus, it took some time.
Yeah, she's paid someone to go through and talk to this person for weeks on end and converse with them to get to the point where she just turns up on the day for a date.
Wouldn't the, like, you know, the chemistry that you felt over text be with the assistant? Like,
yeah. What happens if the assistant falls in love with the guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. It's a fucking... That was the premise I came up with. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What? Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I brought.
That could go pretty deep, actually. That's like a catfishing type of thing where it's like, yeah, you've fallen in love with the... It's like Shallow Hell, that movie. I really love this person. Oh, that's my assistant that you've been talking to.
Yeah.
Oh, they're ugly as fuck.
So it definitely is.
They're really nice.
I thought I was going insane. We're like, that's not a premise. I'm like, yes, it is. This is whole situation.
It's still not a fully fledged premise, though. Like, it's... I feel like your premise should more be the fact that, we've gotten all these apps to make lives easier. Like, sorry, to stop paying it. Tension as much.
And yeah.
Like, yeah, I feel like that's more what you're heading towards.
It's already
right?
super easy. It's already super easy to meet someone on an application.
Maybe just like, you know what, we used to talk to each other when we liked them. Then we got online dating. Now, and then we were like, how can we like even less feel a connection to each other? Yeah. I know, I'll pay an assistant to reply to the messages.
Exactly. I fucking...
Yeah, that's the premise.
That's the premise.
That was what I was trying to say.
You're welcome, Mitch.
Thanks.
Well, we got there.
You know what? I'm just going to throw ideas at you. You come up with the premise and then I'll write the jokes. No, I'll pay someone else to write the jokes for me.
Hey, you can type that. Yeah. Fuck yeah. Call back.
Yeah.
How can I make my jokes less funny? I know. I'll write them.
Oh, shit.
One night where I do really well, I haven't written any of the jokes, and you're just like, oh man, that was too much fun. Fuck it. I'm just gonna...
That can't be Mitch. That was a good set. Like,
yeah,
can't be Mitch.
Fuck this.
So we're doing topics. We're gonna you got anything in the tank left?
Yeah, look,
I'm gonna chuck you an easy one this week.
Yeah.
And it's ex-girlfriends.
Oh yeah. I was already sort of fleshing out a bit about that.
Okay.
About like ex-girlfriends. So just how much of a fucking pussy I used to be back in the day.
Wow,
like,
how did you get a girlfriend then?
Yeah.
That was a lame joke. Continue.
Yeah. So I had this ex-girlfriend and like we'd go out and I'd spend all of my money on buying tickets for the Easter show. And then when I told her I was out of money, she'd abuse me and be like, I told you to fucking save for this weekend. And then I'm just like standing there, I'm like, I'm sorry, baby.
Oh, so bad.
Damn,
it's so
dude,
fucking
that is bad.
Bad. Fucking I know.
Ripped.
I was like fucking 20. And like she just storm off, walk straight out of the Easter show. And it's just like, well, I did buy the tickets. We might as well just fucking go. Like, I'm sorry I can't buy you a Daewoo dog once we're in. Yeah, just shit like that. Like so much. I just wish I could go back in time and be like, such a pussy.
I feel like...
Fuck.
I feel like... Not that I'm defending this chick.
But you should have saved. What, are you going to go and not... You got to have money to go to the Easter show.
Yeah, I know.
You know what? I'm on her side.
Yeah. Look, I can see the point... I could see the point she was making in the moment too.
Okay, Mitch, I reckon like some people just make it too easy to walk all over them that it's hard to not.
You know,
not that I'm saying I do it, but like I'm just saying some people, have you ever met those people that are just always like, oh, what can I do? Like, oh, no, you know, like and they always subservient to the point that like you'll get angry. And you'll say something because you're frustrated at a particular incident. And in a normal situation, a normal person would say, hey, calm down. Like, it's not my... And then you'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, dude.
Yeah.
But, like, in that same scenario, that person goes, oh, you're right, it's all my fault. And then just like,
yeah,
you don't get reprimanded when you're being a shit cunt.
Yeah.
So it like it feels like if you're always with someone who's like that, that you just progress in bitchery until they're your ex-girlfriend. So basically I'm saying it's all your fault,
Mitch. Yeah, 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 yeah. Way to victim blame.
I'm good at it. I'm doing it all my life. You know?
Oh, man. It's just like
you
the
just
problem
gaslighted
was,
him. Yeah, no, yeah, he's the bad guy.
Yeah. She, I was just like so afraid of losing the pussy. That was it. Like,
how
you,
the pussy?
Oh man. The things you, like, I traveled like 7 hours by car just to go fuck.
Jesus.
And spent hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And I was over 18 and could have gone to a brothel. That's the fucked up thing. If I just had, like, if I'd had someone there who could have just been like, hey, dude, like, I know it's great, but you could just pay half that amount of money and not get yelled at.
Did you ever have a wank before you got in the car?
Oh, I used to, I used to remember when after we had sex, I'd just be like, oh.
You've really avoided the question.
You have no power over me.
So you just turn into a total cunt after his
Yeah, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, that
yeah,
explains
yeah.
every sexual experience of my life now. You know?
She's like, she's like, go make me a sandwich. Fuck you.
Suddenly you have
I'm
going to
go play video games. Yeah. So, yeah. You do need to do that, though. If you're like the whole like wank before you go around to a pretty lady's house, just jerk off before you get there.
So you can be a true arsehole when you get there.
Yeah, yeah, just a problem.
Just be a fuckwit off the bat.
So you just get there and knock the drink out of her hands.
Yeah, hey. I think Mitch just told me he's trying to fuck me.
I knew that's what it was about.
Yeah, you kept on saying
that's
your
why
wife
I was late.
Wishes she was single. I think you wish you were single right now.
That's
okay?
Why like, I was late.
You're too busy jacking off.
You don't get calluses like this for nothing, yeah. David.
Oh, Jesus. Always one step too far, Mitch.
Yep.
So much.
So I was going to pitch you a topic of road rage, Eddie.
Oh, okay.
You,
oh,
don't,
yeah,
you don't have to do the whole
story.
Getting run into. You can be like, I also suffer road rage.
I do, actually.
Which it would seem that you do if
I
you're
do.
Flipping people off.
I do. Well, to be fair, he was tailgating me a fuckload, tried to hop out of the traffic lights to come bash me, I'm assuming. And then, like, yeah, I got out of the way and then he was just raving past. It was for no reason. I didn't actually cut him off or anything. That's the thing that pissed me off. I was like, if I'd done something wrong, like traffic-wise, I'd understand and I'd be apologetic. I've done it before where, like, I've accidentally cut someone off and they've beeped at me and been, like, all, you know, through the window and I've been like, oh, sorry, you know, like, when I'm in the wrong, I know I'm in the wrong. But when I've done absolutely nothing and you're being a shit cunt, you know.
Yeah.
Like, fuck you.
I was driving like a fuckwit once when I was on my P plates and I've like fucking accelerated way too hard just down this road. And then I realized there was this couple about to cross on the pedestrian crossing. So I broke hard and I like sort of stopped on the pedestrian crossing and I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like I was really apologetic. And the old lady's like, oh no, it's all right. Like she understood. She was probably driving like a fuckwit too when she was younger. But the old dude was like, what the fuck, like, you dickhead. And I was like, I'm sorry. And he, like, kept going, and he's like,
yeah, dude, it was a zebra crossing. What the fuck were you doing?
Yeah. And then he's like, he kept going, and I was like, I'm sorry. And then he's like, kept going again. And I was just like, wound the window down. I'm like, oi, did I fucking run you over, cunt? And he's like, what? No. I'm like, then shut your fucking mouth. Like,
yeah. Jesus.
I've just gone from like really apologetic and trying to be nice to just like straight up just like, fuck you, cunt.
I feel like this was more a topic for Mitch than anything. It's
just, sometimes that's how it works. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ethan says I've got two moods. I've got like two modes, like pussy Mitch, where I'm just like, and I think I proved it with this podcast. Like, my girlfriend's blowing up at me because I didn't have enough money to take us to the...
Not this one.
I was looking at her like...
Ex-girlfriend.
Yeah. Like,
that's why.
Like,
got
you guys
money.
Are having issues?
Yeah.
I'll take her off your hands. Like, I'm happy to... actually make sure she's satisfied, you know?
Don't worry. She's got plenty of dildos for that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not what I'm here for.
To fuck you with because you're a pussy, right?
Yeah,
I'm loving this podcast.
Yeah, I'm just getting yelled at for not having enough money to take my girlfriend to the fucking Easter show.
And now you're getting yelled at for not having enough money for more dildos.
Yeah. So, and then I'm also jumping out of cars and trying to assault people.
Yeah. Like, fuck, why did you marry him? Jesus. Yeah. Like,
I'm fucking nuts.
Yep.
Yeah.
Were you in the comedy chat for when Mitch accidentally called himself the Mitch Dozer?
No.
Because he has successfully Mitch Dozed your premise of Road Rage. But, you know Carlos, Carlos Mencia?
Yeah.
I thought he was Carlos Mendoza.
He thought someone's accused him of stealing. Well, not accused him of stealing a joke. It was just like
a joke.
It was having a joke about him stealing a joke. Didn't actually steal a joke, but he thought, I'll make this even funnier. And
no, he didn't steal it. He paid for it.
He goes, you can just call me Mitch Dozer. Because he thought Carlos Mendoza instead of Carlos Mencia. It's so bad, but
wow.
So good.
Shit. It didn't even translate right. That's the other thing. Everyone's just like, does he mow a lot of lawn?
It was so good.
Oh, I'm just pushing really shitty jokes on people. That's what I'm doing.
Shit.
Yeah.
Oh, we love you, man. You just get...
I have these moments.
We tolerate him.
These moments of like just ultimate cringe where I'll look back on it for the rest of my life and just, oh, fuck. And Ethan's right there to remind him, to remind me about it. I'm like, just, oh, yeah.
All right.
Must hurt to look in the mirror. Constantly reminded of all the shit you've done.
Well, actually, so you didn't, I gave you a fucking premise last week and you didn't even perform it. So I feel like we need to address that.
Okay, what was the premise?
Ooh, okay.
What was the premise that I gave you? You tell me. You should have fucking written it down.
I don't remember. What
you know
was
the
it?
The thing that I told you? Yeah, tell the back to me.
Oh, it was gun control.
Gun control, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I was trying, and then it turned into the Olympic shooting joke.
Yeah, no, he just like, he thought it was a broad metaphor, the gun control. He just confirmed it, to, you know, like,
well,
open it up
yeah,
to bombing.
You
and
you
then
did not even fucking mention
the
gun control once.
Bit was that the semi-automatic dildo.
Oh, yeah, I remember, yeah.
And it sucked. And I took it to the writing group. I'm like, this is shit. So yeah. Why would I perform that on stage?
No, can you please
You could have done the massacre. I said that weird.
What is your gun control bit first?
I don't have one. Only a tool. Guns don't kill people. People kill people.
Which is actually a Jim Jefferies bit. So
Yeah. So I'm already stepping on that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, some things are just like, the initial one I had was like, some things are just built to do damage. Like, it's a 12-inch dildo. Do you really need that? It's a bit overkill.
Yeah.
Like, you don't hear them making the same arguments for gun control as they do for, like, having huge dildos. Like, the only thing that can stop a bad guy with a dildo is a good guy with a dildo.
Fuck me, that's a good joke. Why didn't you say that in the fucking writing session?
I figured that part out of it later.
Later, yeah. Okay. Because we were chucking around in the writing session and we're like, I think we needed like a different angle, like an extra thing. There it is, motherfucker. Like,
yeah.
That's a good joke now.
So now I have to do that next week.
Yeah, you have to do that next week.
Yeah, so cool.
Maybe we're saving it for the stag, you know?
No, I wasn't. I was trying to impress Milos and I fucking ate dick.
Jesus, was everybody doing that? Yeah, I just probably did new shit the whole time.
Yeah, you killed it.
Yeah. Thanks, dude.
Yeah, because you did what you wanted to do and everyone else pandered and ate shit. It was great.
I couldn't be fucked.
Yeah, nah, that's the right attitude to have. Just do what you want to do.
Yeah.
I had to learn that lesson.
Besides,
hard way.
Milos has already spoken to me about getting up in that room anyway.
Yeah.
I don't need to impress him.
Yeah.
He knows what I can do.
The fucked up thing about last Tuesday was Ethan signed us up. So sign me up to open, right? And was also the person who gave me some fucking good advice and said, hey, man, stop putting yourself first. You keep bombing.
Fuck, this is like sabotage at like the highest level.
Yeah,
you know?
So he signs
I'll
us
sign
both,
him up first.
So he signs us, like, we can only perform and
later in, the
later,
night.
In warm rooms.
Yeah.
Like, we need people to just... Yeah, okay. Fucking, like, and so he signs us up And then, do you want to know the best thing about the whole situation, though, Eddie?
What?
Is he bombed way worse than I did.
Yeah, I did.
And fucking, like, karma that, got you big time.
That was the joke, that I do everything better than you, even bombing.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, you fucking cunt.
Yeah, that's fucking hard to do, to be, you know, to be yeah. better at bitch than bombing. Ugh, that's a tough one.
Wow.
Oh, I'm impressed, Ethan. Well done.
Fucking hell. Stick the knife in and twist yep. it.
Oh, we're not known for being nice in comedy, are
no,
we?
No, that's true.
No, you gotta
at least
have
it's to my face and not behind my back.
Oh, no, we do it behind your back as
I
well.
I know, I know. It's like you get off stage after a big bomb, you walk to the table and everyone's just sort of standing there or
oh,
sitting
fuck,
there.
That's the worst.
And they're real quiet about it and you're like, ugh, yeah, that fucking sucked. Like, yeah, we know, but we're just going to wait until you leave before
no,
we
no, no.
say anything
Here's
about
the worst.
It.
Here's the worst. When you get off thinking, oh, yeah, that went pretty good. And then everyone goes, oh, tough luck, man. Oh. You're like, what are you talking about? What are you yeah. talking about? I thought I did well.
Oh, man.
That is the worst.
Yeah.
I've had that. I've had that. I've got it off and gone, yeah, that's, that was
I feel
that
great
was good.
About that.
Yeah.
yeah.
I got a few laughs. And they'll be like, oh, tough. Tough break, man. And I'll be like, ah, yeah. So I guess I still need a, you know what? I was working on a premise where it was like, you know, they say it needs like 10,000 hours of practice until you get good at something. And I was like, I wrote a bit for like when I bombed on stage, I'd just be like, yeah, it takes 10,000 hours to get good at anything. Guess I need another 10,000. You know, like I'm going to need twice that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your premise for this week is Vladimir Putin
yeah.
and
Jesus.
Like Russia and China becoming best pals.
Oh, okay.
You yeah. see, to have a joke about that,
that
I would
so much political prowess.
Yeah, I would
so.
Have to have a vested
yeah.
interest in the news,
yeah.
which
yeah,
I don't
and
watch.
You have to fucking do the bit, motherfucker. You have to get up there. See, this is called setting a friend up for failure.
Okay.
See, this is
I
payback for
from,
signing
yeah.
him up first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As, just so you know, he didn't actually have to set you up first to sabotage you. Yeah. He just had to say, yeah.
He just had to go.
Give your set a go, Mitch.
How about it?
How about it, Mitch?
Which makes it yeah. so much worse that he bombed harder than I did.
Yeah.
I tell you what, back when we were doing Double Dare Comedy, we used to do a similar version of Beat Them to the Punchline, which is called Set List, which is very similar, where you just give it a everybody got up and got a different premise.
Yep.
And then they just had to riff on it until they either got a joke or they got clapped off. So,
yeah.
you know, sometimes if you were bombing shit, you'd still get, yeah, let's get off. You know?
Yeah.
But I think whenever they gave me one, they had to make sure that they never actually gave me a person. Because once they gave me Gandhi and I didn't know shit.
Didn't know who Gandhi was.
I'm not, they gave me Donald Trump once and I was like, that's going to be like the easiest person to make jokes about. But I am so ill-informed about news and current events. I'm too self-absorbed in whatever is going on in my life to pay attention to what's happening in the world.
Yeah.
Okay?
You're like,
I know
Donald
who
Trump.
These people are, but I don't know enough about them to make jokes about them. You know what I mean? Like, I do know who Gandhi is, don't get me wrong, but I couldn't tell you shit about his life. Like,
yeah, neither.
Yeah.
Oh,
see,
no,
yeah.
I know. Yeah, he's in, like, Pakistan or something, wasn't he?
Here you go. With his back burn.
He's some religious dude, right?
Like, yeah, he's religious.
He's spiritual,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
yeah.
Does he doesn't eat a lot, right? Like, fuck, maybe I
was
maybe
you could
I
just do that,
know,
like self-deprecate.
Just,
yeah. I don't know shit about Gandhi.
I heard he makes a mean curry.
I don't know shit about China. What I hear there's some kerfuffles going on over there at the moment.
There's a bit
yeah,
of a
maybe
kerfuffle.
You could do that.
Yeah.
yeah.
Maybe, you know, I saw this bit. So, like, set list used to be a thing that they do for, like, professional comedians that on a YouTube thing. And one time Rove McManus was on it, who's recently actually just restarting his show on 10, which is super sick. But, like, he was on it once and they gave him, like, it just flashes up on the screen, the premise, and then they have to riff on it, right?
Yeah.
And so the premise he got was AIDS, but it was spelled like A-I-D-S. And the way he figured it out is he started this weird story where it just was like everyone was like, what has this got to do with AIDS? Like, it's, you know. And then he got to the end and it was something like Australian Indian Delivery Service. Like, it was like, and like everyone lost it because they were like, oh, wow, I didn't see that coming. Yeah. You know? Yeah. I just, on the topic of...
Being clever about it.
I guess.
On the topic of doing something that...
Maybe it was on the topic of curry. I forgot what I was talking about halfway through. Yeah.
On the topic of doing something that I never could.
Good attitude to have, mate.
Yeah. Set my bar low.
I'm shit at everything. Yeah. Well, I'll do well out of life now.
I'm good at masturbation. Segway, fap of the week. Woo!
Jesus Christ.
What was your fap of the week?
I still haven't come up with my premise for... No, I'm not going to come up with a premise for that. Anyway, my fap of the week...
Whoa, what is this section? I was not warned.
Yeah, you weren't warned about this section. In this section, we discuss what we've had a wank to this week.
Okay.
To sort of broaden everyone's perspective about what's out there.
Yeah, it's about sexual health and well-being.
Yeah.
All right.
So my fap of the week was Aubrey Kate and Chanel Santini in the same scene. And these are two very attractive transsexual porn actresses.
Uh-huh.
And check them out. There's a plug. Aubrey Kate, number one, my favorite.
Yep.
I'm building a list. I want a list of trans porn stars in my head in case anyone calls me on it. I can be like, I can name 10. How many can you name?
Yeah.
We'll see who's progressive.
Which is obviously a question you get asked all the time. Like,
yeah, you never
quick,
know.
Ethan, think fast. Name 10 transsexuals.
I just don't want to be that fucking dickhead, like wearing like a Slayer shirt and it's like, can you name one album? I'm like, no.
I thought the shirt was cool.
Yeah. I just don't want to be that wanker.
So
have you ever worn a shirt and not realised it was the thing that you were wearing? Like, I wore a Transformers shirt once because it said, like, what was that line? Like, more than the eye can see or something like that.
Yeah, more than meets the eye.
Yeah, more than meets the eye. I think that's what it said on it. And so someone just randomly was like, oh, yeah, Transformers. I was like, what? Like, I had no fucking idea. I just thought it was a cool shirt, you know?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes it happens. I'm not wearing Slayer shirts and being like, I don't know, you know, it's kind of different. It was literally, there was no symbol of the movie or anything. It was just the words.
I'm wearing a Jeep shirt and I don't drive a Jeep, so.
You're a fucking
Such
fraud.
A fucking, wow.
What a
hypocrite.
Poser.
Okay.
Piece of shit. Yeah. I hit a Jeep once.
Let's not go into that.
Jesus, more road rage?
No, I'm just a terrible parker.
All right, what's your fap?
I found a porn star who doesn't normally do butt stuff doing butt stuff.
What a treat.
Yeah. I was like, oh, you don't normally do that stuff. And it was just like, you know, you look in your ranked models on Pornhub. I was like, oh, she's gone down a couple of ranks. Let's fucking bump her numbers up a bit. I was like, oh, wow, she's doing butt stuff.
You're doing God's work.
Good for you. Yeah.
Doing anal.
Did you leave a comment?
No.
Oh.
No, I only log in for, I've got this weird obsession with cam whores, but
what?
Not...
What the fuck are cam whores?
No, cam whores.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah. Continue. Yeah. That was weird. Yeah, for a second, I was like, wow, Mitch is into some kinky shit.
I don't go there. I don't go there to get off.
Just there's two girls in a can? Like...
It's one girl in a can.
Oh, right,
it's called a fleshlight.
Right, oh, Jesus. Okay.
So I got this weird obsession where I like to go to these like myfreecams.com or like Pornhub Live, and I'll go there and I'll just want to listen to music with them. That's all I want to do. I'm like, I'm going to give you 15 cents right now to play some Tool for me. And they're like,
and then I'll get out my Tool.
They fucking hate it. Like, because you're wasting their time. Because you're like...
So
like,
wait,
look,
what you're saying is you live to frustrate women. Mitch, all you need to do is perform in the bedroom.
All I need to do is show them my penis. Yeah.
They live to frustrate women.
They get genuinely fucking annoyed at me. Like, they're like, oh yeah, like that's a cool song and all, but can I just show you my tits and smash myself with a dildo? I'm like... No, please put your pants on.
Not that I'm always playing devil's advocate to you today, Mitch, but I can see it from their side of the space. Okay, I can imagine if I showed up to a gig to play music and someone was like, hey, why don't you stand on your head for an hour? I'd be like, But I learnt songs. Like, I can sing. I have music in my heart. You know, like.
Yeah. They're there to perform.
You just keep on changing their job description and they're not okay with it. You know, they don't want to add it to their criteria list on their resume, Mitch. Okay.
What would you rather do? Sit there and listen to Tool or smash yourself in the butt with a vibrator?
Smash myself in the butt.
Tennis for the butt vibrator.
As Mitch's wife just pointed out, she'd much rather smash herself in the butt with a vibrator, but that's probably because Mitch is not satisfying her.
Oh, she really hates Tool.
Yeah. Good point.
If only she was that into butt stuff.
All right. Do you want to do a fap of the week, Eddie?
Fap of the week.
It's very confronting.
Yeah, isn't it? I'm a very open person, quite literally. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't really watch porn. I don't have a problem with it. Well, I do, actually. My problem is that the music is shit, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Most of the time I watch porn and I spend at least an hour in a fucking rant about how the music is so fucking shit. So my fap of the week, probably Kanye. Yeah. Put some Kanye on, I'll...
Fuck.
Yeah. I'll butt vibrate myself all night. Put some decent music on, you know? That's all I'm saying.
Oh, sorry. Fuck.
So what you're saying is you have a good imagination.
Well,
what
I'm
she's saying is she can go out and...
Well, she doesn't need to tell us.
I'm saying I'm orally stimulated, okay? Like, it's... Yeah, you got to sound
good. You can suck your own clit? Like, what?
if only. Oh, God. I've fucked many guys who are just ugly as fuck, but beautiful voices. Just call me a whore.
Maybe you can do fuck of the week.
If only I could sing. Yeah.
Just sing to me, baby. Yeah. You know? Like, singing over the rainbow while I'm getting over the orgasm. You know, like
fuck. Actually, no. I did come up with some songs I want to rewrite.
Well, let's save that for another podcast, champion.
This is a different kind of podcast. This is another way you can disappoint us, Mitch.
Yeah. So,
No. We're not going there.
Candle in the Wind.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
To Puddin' Eatin' Cake.
That is actually written in my book right here.
Yeah.
Mitch was supposed to be working on his resume this morning. Yeah. Instead, he was doing a cover of Candle in the Wind.
Because he changing really cares the lyrics about his future, you know?
Yeah.
Jesus. Changing the lyrics to a puddin' eatin' cake.
All right, we've been going for too long, obviously. Yeah. This podcast is over. I do want to just do a quick plug of the Savoy at Long Jetty. We went down and watched that gig. It's one of Dave Perry's shows. It's fucking awesome.
How was it? Okay, cool.
It was good.
Yeah. Adam Ronan genuinely killed. He had a fucking great show.
Sweet.
Yeah, because we don't normally see that from
him. Fucking shitting on people that aren't here.
Yeah, let the man defend himself. He's already down in the dirt.
I'm going to show this to him later in a short 10-second clip. Oh, just the bit where you're fucking over. Yeah.
He's a listener now. It's all right.
Yeah, he's had one episode.
I'm doing this knowing that he's listening, so... Yeah. Technically, it's to his face.
Do you really know that anybody's listening to this?
There's no one.
I don't think you can say that.
We've got the YouTube metrics, bruh.
Yeah, there's 100 views on the first video, but that's only because I shit my pants. And everyone keeps going to listen to me shit my pants.
I thought it was half of it was just Mitch sending the videos to all the cam whores. Watch this. I'll pay 15 cents to watch this.
Oh, man.
All right. So, yeah. Savoy Long Jetty. We got Punchline Comedy at the Stag and Hunter. We got that Wednesday. Yes.
Yeah, 21st of August for this month. But if you're listening to this after that date, it's the third Wednesday of every month. So check it out.
So that's.
And we got the Kent on Tuesday. Tuesday. So Kent Hotel Hamilton upstairs for some open mic comedy there too. Cool.
It's a fucking double banger.
Come watch us suck.
Yeah.
Mitch will be sucking on stage. I'll be sucking my clitoris.
Cool. That's a podcast. Thanks for coming on, Eddie.
Love you.
Yeah. See you later.